Well, there's a subtitle to my talk, which is, Can a Magnetic Field Make Electrons Act Like Holes? What I'm going to describe are measurements which reveal another puzzle. These are, again, drag measurements, where we believe that we have learned specific information about the dispersion relation now in the integer quantum Hall regime. And the information that we find is that the electrons appear to act hole-like. They look like they're holes. And what we're going to argue is that this effect is likely due to disorder. And it's our hope that these measurements can provide some further insight into that problem in the integer quantum Hall effect. So let me show an overview of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to start off very briefly now, since it's the third time, how the drag technique works. I'll mention some of the other stuff that's been done with drag, but then I'll turn on the magnetic field. Now, we're primarily interested in smaller fields. We're also making measurements at higher temperatures than the work that was done earlier. And I'll describe how our experiment sees what looks like holes. Then I will discuss the role that we believe disorder plays in the problem and how we understand that we're getting information directly about the dispersion relation of the electrons in the integer quantum Hall effect. And then I'll finish by describing a couple of possible origins for this effect that we've seen. This work has been done in collaboration with my students, especially Zhengguang Feng, and there's of course the critical contribution of Lauren Pfeiffer and Ken West. I want to acknowledge my the funding that I've gotten, but also Jim Eisenstein, with whom the drag technique was originally developed. Okay, so the way that drag works is that we have two layers which are separately electrically contacted and electrically isolated, and we drive a current through one of those two layers, and then the interlayer interactions between the two layers causes some of the momentum that is in that current to be transferred to the second layer. If we don't allow that current to leave the second layer, then charge builds up on one side of the sample, and a voltage develops until it precisely balances the effective drag force in between the layers. And so what we do then is we measure the voltage, we know the current, and that gives us an indication of the strength of the interlayer electron-electron scattering. The samples that we use for these measurements are double quantum well samples of very high quality. The mobilities are greater than 2 million. Our density is about 1.5 times 10 to the 11. It's our experience, in fact, that doing drag measurements in a magnetic field is quite a bit harder than doing it at zero field. Maybe due to the fact that maybe our signals aren't quite as large, but I think it's also due to the fact that the two-terminal impedance of these layers is significantly larger in magnetic fields, and that makes you much more sensitive to spurious effects. And so it takes a great deal of work to make sure that what you see is drag and only drag. So drag measurements have looked at lots of different areas now. The early work was Coulomb scattering and phonon exchange. There's also been work on plasmons at high temperatures, and recently a bunch of work looking at magnetic field effects, including the composite fermion work, which we heard about earlier. There are a number of groups who do this work now. The focus of the current work that I'm going to discuss is in the integer quantum Hall regime and the measurements that we have that seem to show hole-like behavior. So let's look at the resistivity in that regime. We're all familiar with what the resistance does as we turn on a magnetic field. These are the Shubnikov-de-Haas oscillations, which are related to the changes in the density of states that happens in the electron system as we develop lambda levels. Now, this density of states change is also reflected in a drag measurement. Okay, this bottom layer is now the transresistance measured as a function of magnetic field. And that where you have zeros in or minima in the Shubnikov-Haas oscillations, you also see minima in the drag here and here and here. But there's an obvious difference between the magnetoresistance and the magnetodrag, and that where we have a single peak in the magnetoresistance, we have two peaks occurring in the interlayer drag. Okay? This double peak was in fact predicted by Hu and Bonsager, and first seen by Pepper's group and von Klitzing's group. It is argued to be due to a competition between the density of states, which increases as you go into the Landau level, and the screening, which also increases. Now, it turns out that screening is more important in the interlayer interactions, and so that it eventually wins and causes you to have a minimum. Okay, but a critical point for these measurements now is that so far there's no evidence at all for any holes. Okay. But a key point about this measurement is that it is done with the two layers having exactly the same density. And the hole-like behavior that we've seen only comes when we mismatch the density between the two layers. And so in the bottom here is just exactly that drag measurement again. Here we have the double peak structure. This is for both layers having a density which shows Shubnikov-Haas oscillations that look like this. And what we did next was to change the density of one of the two layers by about 10%, so that the second layer now has a magnetoresistance which looks like this red curve. And when we do that, if we look at the drag as a function of magnetic field, it's hard to see because it's so small there. It starts out positive and then increases. But once we start to get significant differences in the two Shubnikov-Haas oscillations, we start to see negative peaks. Okay? And all of these peaks have an opposite sign to what we have both at zero field and at weak magnetic fields. Okay, so why do we say that these negative peaks look like holes? Well, to think about this, let's look at the zero magnetic field case and understand, again, where the sign of the drag voltage comes from. Okay, so we have electrons in both layers. We're driving a current through the first layer. Some of the momentum in that current is transferred to the second, what we call the drag layer, and so electrons start to accumulate on this side of the sample. Okay? That accumulation of charge is going to develop a voltage. Okay? That voltage is opposite to the voltage which exists in the current carrying layer. It is this polarity of voltages that we call a positive drag. Okay? And we want to contrast that to the case where we have electrons in one layer and holes in the other. This experiment was in fact done by Borisi von some time ago. And again, we transfer some momentum to the second layer. The holes accumulate now on this side of the sample, but the voltage that develops is opposite to the case where we have electrons in the second layer. It is exactly this polarity of voltage that we see in our measurement when we mismatch the densities of the two layers. It is this polarity that we call negative drag. Well, this is, I think it's quite a puzzle. We all know that there are no holes in this system in these magnetic fields. There's quite a few Hall measurements which would confirm that. But these electrons are acting hole-like. So how can that be? Well, the only way that that can be is if the electrons in the second layer don't go in the direction that we expect, that when they scatter, they're going in the opposite direction. Now, this contradicts what we would expect from classical momentum conservation. But even for these very ideal, nearly free electrons, we should realize that it is not the classical momentum which is conserved in the magnetic field, it's the canonical momentum, K, that's conserved. And so it shouldn't be especially surprising that the velocity of The electrons in a scattering event is not conserved. What we need to consider is energy and K conservation. And so if we think about these conservation processes and combine them with our observations, I think we can say that there are strong implications for the electron dispersion relation in these magnetic fields. And we know that we have electrons in both layers, and we know that when we arrange the situation so that the drag is negative with our mismatched densities, that the drag layer electrons have to be pushed opposite to the current flow direction. Now what that means, we can see explicitly if we look at the details of a collision between electrons in the two layers. We have the current carrying layer in the blue and the drag layer in the green. If we have normal electron-like dispersion in both layers, that is, where an increase in K gives us an increase in velocity, what we're going to do in a scattering is take a little bit of K out of this layer and put it in that one. And so the velocity, the electron in this layer gets a boost in this direction, a kick in that direction, and the electron in the second layer is going to get kicked in that direction. But what we observe, because of the polarity that we see in our drag measurements, is that the electrons in the second layer are actually going in this direction. And so what that means is that the change in velocity with an increase in K for the drag layer electrons has to be less than zero. So this change, which is equivalent to the curvature of the dispersion curve, that is d squared e dk squared, has got to be less than zero. This is this dispersion, this negative dispersion, is what we're going to refer to as our hole-like behavior. Well, so I've explained how I believe that we have direct information about this dispersion relation. What we've seen is that the only way that we can explain what we're seeing in the single particle picture is to say that the dispersion has opposite signs in the two layers. Now, the measurement that I showed you before made clear that it depended on the relative density of the two layers. Well, let's explore that, okay, by varying the density of the two layers, and what we'll find is that it actually depends on the relative deviation from half-filling in the uppermost lambda level. Okay, so we're going to set up our situation so that we have the drag layer where the uppermost lambda level is more than half-filled, and then we vary the density or the filling factor of the drive layer. And what we see as we vary that filling factor is that the drag, here's zero, it's positive and then negative and then positive and then negative again. Now in this regime, spin is unresolved. So a half-filled lambda level corresponds to here, 9, 7, etc. And so that this situation here is when the drive layer is also more than half-filled, and here it is less than half-filled, and it's the uppermost lambda level is again more than half-filled, and then less than half-filled. Now we can change this around by changing the magnetic field and make the drag layer so that it is less than half-filled. And when we do that, what we see is that the polarity of this whole thing shifts. Okay, we again see where it was positive, it can now be negative. Where it was negative, it's positive. But what this, the correspondence here is that whenever the drive layer is also less than half-filled, here, here, and here, drag is now positive. It is only negative when the drive layer is more than half-filled. So this measurement then establishes a clear criteria for the existence of negative drag and the hole-like behavior that we're seeing in these magnetic fields. And that criteria is that if one layer's uppermost lambda level is more than half-filled, then the other layer's uppermost lambda level must be less than half-filled. So we have opposing dispersion depending on whether we're above or below half-filling in each of these lambda levels. Now, this is quite surprising behavior to us. Okay? It has not, to our knowledge, been seen outside of drag measurements. We've just seen some negative drag earlier in Jim's talk. In fact, I learned at breakfast on Sunday that Ori Sivan has also seen negative drag in electron hole systems. You're going to hear about that tomorrow morning. But one of the things that's puzzling to us is that you wouldn't expect to see this behavior for an ideal electron system. Now, we can see that if we look at the dispersion relation which exists for two-dimensional electrons in magnetic fields. In the absence of disorder, there isn't any curvature to the dispersion for ideal electrons in an infinite system. But even in for a finite system where we have edge states, where we have the influence of the walls, okay, I'll show you that there also is no hole-like behavior. Now, the finite system is not quite as trivial as the infinite system, but it is still quite easy to solve. The freedom that we have in that problem is the choice of gauge. And so that if we choose the gauge so that the solution for the wave function is a stripe which is centered around some x position, we obtain the following spectrum of energies for the electronic states with the important relationship that the position across the sample is directly related to k sub y. And so we have two regimes here, the center of the sample where the energy is completely flat, and then as we approach the edge, on both sides, the energy increases. And here we have a positive velocity, and there we have a negative velocity. But in all cases, for all of these lambda levels, we have no hole-like behavior. Wherever we put the Fermi level, as we change the magnetic field or change the density, as we go from below half-filled to above half-filled in that level, the electrons look electron-like all over the place. Okay? That leads us to the following assertion. If we realize that this hole-like behavior, which is induced by the magnetic fields, is not possible for free electrons in the absence of disorder, that it is most likely that this effect is induced by disorder. Now, it's also possible that this effect is somehow related to interactions. Okay, we don't believe that it is, and I'm going to show you some results at the end which cause us to question how interactions might be involved. Okay, so I'm going to shift now and talk a little bit about possible causes for this. And I'm going to provide some motivation for a source for the hole-like behavior which arises from the bulk states of the sample. And the motivation for this picture comes from the effects of disorder on these states in the center of the band. So what is disorder going to do to these? We're going to provide some energy width to the states which are in the sample. And if we look at a slice through the sample, we're going to have some fluctuation in the energy as we move across the sample. This is half filling. The energies are going to be above that and below that as we're moving across the sample. And so that if we just simply look at this slice and examine it, well, these states sort of look hole-like. And those states look rather electron-like. And in fact, this simple picture contains just the density dependence that we're observing. If both layers are here, then we're going to get a positive drag signal. We have the same character dispersion in both layers. If both layers are below half-filling, we're also going to have the same character dispersion in both layers, so we're going to get a positive drag signal. But if we arrange the system so that one layer is more than half-filled and the other is less than half-filled, then we're going to have opposing dispersions in the two layers, and we should obtain a negative drag signal. Well, it's clearly important that we try to identify where this effect comes from. And we have some additional information which can help us identify or try to identify what the source of this effect is, and that's in the temperature dependence of this negative drag. And so this is now a measurement as a function of magnetic field of the drag trans resistance as we increase the temperature. It starts at about 1.15 degrees and goes up to about 2.18 degrees. And so that what we see is that at low temperatures, as we get colder, the negative drag actually gets larger. But that as we increase the temperature, negative drag disappears and eventually becomes positive. And so what this measurement provides us then is in some sense a measure of the energy difference between the electron and the whole like states. As we increase the temperature, if we have the situation set up so that we have negative drag, by increasing the temperature, we know we have both electron-like and hole-like states in the system. By increasing the temperature, we're making both of those states accessible. So the temperature at which negative drag appears is a measure of the energy difference between those two style dispersion states. Now, why is this valuable? It's valuable because we can estimate the energy width of the bulk states. And one way to do that is to just look at the Shumakov-Haas oscillations at really low magnetic fields. Okay? And we've analyzed this with the standard Dingle approach, which provides us a measurement of the quantum lifetime. And using that quantum lifetime gives us a disorder broadening energy, which is about 1.7 degrees Kelvin. That is quite close to the temperature where negative drag is observed to disappear. And so that it's supportive of this bulk state role in the Hall-like behavior. And of course, it's far from conclusive. Now, I'd like to consider a second possible source, which is that edge states have something to do with this behavior. And that this source is derived from the influence that disorder can have on these edge states. If you think about what disorder is going to do, disorder allows for the possibility that these edge states from lower-lying lambda levels can mix with the bulk states of the upper lambda levels. Okay? In fact, there exist numerical calculations which have considered what happens to these states in the presence of disorder by a couple of groups from Japan and Germany. And I'm going to plot schematically the result of their calculations. The black lines here are the ordinary disorder-free states, and what they find is that the states turn into these loops, the red bands. Now, an obvious complication of having disorder in these samples in any system is that the absolute value of the momentum is no longer a well-defined quantity. But the theorists have argued that it's still possible to consider what the change in K is in this system, and the direction of increasing K is shown by these green arrows. So that if we look at this, what we find is that above half filling, these states are looking electron-like. And that below half filling, we go from edge-like behavior to bulk-like behavior, the velocity slows down. So these states are now looking hole-like. And so that this sort of scenario is also consistent with the density dependence that we see. If both layers are up here or both layers are down there, we get positive drag. But if one layer is above half-filling and the other is below half-filling, then we expect to get a negative drag signal. Well, this is admittedly what I think is a somewhat exotic source. There really aren't that many edge states, and we're talking about a transport measurement where we are propagating through all of the bulk states as well. So that what we've done is we've taken a different approach to try to investigate the contribution of the edge states to this problem, which is to look at high magnetic fields. Now, high magnetic fields could have, if we forget about what they do to interaction effects, we can expect a very different behavior from what they do to correlation effects. We can expect a very different behavior for the bulk state picture as from this edge state picture. The width of the lambda levels as we increase the magnetic field is known to increase like the square root of B. So that if anything, if it's the bulk states that are contributing to this negative drag behavior, this hole-like behavior, that should persist to a higher temperature as we increase the magnetic field. Whereas if it is in fact the edge states which are contributing to this effect, then by going to high enough magnetic field, we can actually go to the case where there aren't any edge states from lower-lying Landau levels at all. Now, that has been a difficult measurement for us to make, in part because of trouble that we've had getting a sample cold and having it work. These samples are, as Jim can testify, exceedingly delicate. And so we've recently been able to make this measurement. This is a measurement in the lowest Landau level. We're setting up the drive layer. This is similar to the data that I showed you before. We're going to fix the density of one layer and vary the density of the other one. We have new setup so that it's 0.8. And so then we go and reduce the density. And so that we go through half filling here. Now, in the integer regime, where we had one layer above half filling and the other below half filling, we would expect to see negative drag. That's what we would expect to see when the other layer density is over here. But what we see instead is a positive drag signal. And that as we increase new and go into the next spin split Landau level, we set up the drive layer so new equals 1.3, and then we would change the density of the second layer. The drag is positive. We see a zero in the gap between the Landau levels, and then it becomes positive again as we enter the next Landau level. Here, they're both below half filling. Here, one is above and one is below half filling. That same behavior is true if we keep both layers within the same Landau level. They're both matched here, above half filling. There, one is above and one is below. So what we see at high fields is that this negative drag disappears, at least at the temperatures at which we're making our measurements, which are about 1.2 degrees. So that seems to support the role of edge states in this picture. And so I'll summarize by saying that I think this is a very interesting problem, but it's clearly far from solved. That the source for this hole-like behavior, I think, is still quite unclear. Okay? It's possible, for example, that it could be the bulk states, which are responsible for the effect in the integer regime. And that the effect is destroyed not by the decreasing importance of edge states, but by the enhanced importance of interactions, which are known to exist at high magnetic fields. Now, the solution to this problem is obviously going to require more work, both in terms of experimental measurements, but also in terms of theoretical calculations. The measurements that I think are important to do is we still haven't probed intermediate field regimes. We haven't looked at much lower temperatures. We see the drag increases as we get colder. When does it stop increasing and begin to turn around? But I think that there is some opportunity here for understanding the influence of disorder, if it is, in fact, disorder that is responsible for this effect. Because its influence on the electron dispersion is quite direct. We see a change in sign of the electron dispersion relationship. Thank you. The first measurements that I showed you were new of about 10 and higher. Okay, and so that the negative drag, our first measurements, we didn't go very much higher than that in field. If we go to high fields, it seems to get smaller, but that it disappears completely, at least at 1.2 degrees. Now, things are apparently different in the electron hole system, as Yuri will tell you about tomorrow, and Jim's measurements at presumably matched electron densities show negative drag at very, very high fields. But I think that the regimes are really quite different, that we see a very simple characteristic behavior in varying the density in the integer regime. The data where I showed you where it goes positive and negative and positive and negative, that there is a clear behavior which is evident that when the two layers are above or both above or both below half filling in the uppermost Landau level, it's positive. If they have to be one above and one below half filling in order to get the negative effect. And so things may be different at very high fields. It's still too early to say.
Let's thank all three of our presenters.